It's the motherfucking Millennial Miha podcast.
Welcome back to the Millennial Miha podcast. I'm here with my friend Jen Hercules. What's up, Jen? She's here.
Howdy, everybody.
She's my friend. And we're just vibing right now to some instrumentals so we don't get kicked out of the live. And we're loving these instrumentals. We're listening to Double Up by Nipsey Hussle on Victory Lap. And that's always a great vibe to come closer to me, my friend. See, like, you know what? That's going to work. We'll just do a back-to-back thing. That's how we really fill out the frame. So what we're going to do today is we're going to do a Mexico City recap. We had the pleasure of going on a trip together, and it was really fun, and we want to talk about some of the things that we learned and just in general the trip. But first, I'm going to start how I always start, which is by doing a recap, a weekend recap. But we're currently in the middle of the weekend because it's Saturday. So I started my weekend yesterday with the Hood Liberation's Black Friday market in Pasadena. And we want to talk about the importance of shopping local. What was your experience yesterday at the market?
It was all love, and it was all, feels like now family, like all the vendors are just beautiful, talented people. And I came up on a lot of goodies.
So many things. What did you buy? Talk about what you bought.
Oh, what did I get? Okay, so first I got some sweats from Malcolm's brand, which is Just Too Nice. It took me a little bit.
Just Too Nice.
Just Too Nice.
At Just Too Nice.
And he's our personal trainer too, and he be putting in work. He's a whole 10. Y'all could go see him on IG. Y'all could go stalk his page. But Malcolm is such a talented person, an athletic as fuck person, and just is building his own brand. So it was nice to see people from our community doing beautiful things. He's from Pasadena as well.
The event was put on by Hood Liberation, which is an organization that I have so much love for. I was a part of it back in 2020 when this started, and I love what they're about and what they're trying to do. They brought their dream to life of supporting black and brown vendors in the neighborhood and creating a space. It's a nonprofit. Hood Liberation is nonprofit, and you can follow them at Hood Liberation and find all about them at hoodliberation.com. A lot of my former students were there. Who did you see? I saw Dominic. I saw like just people from our growing up experience that are just kind of like you don't always get to see. But who did you see?
Who did I see?
Did you see any random people?
No, I've been gone for a long time, y'all. I was gone for like 12 years and I just came back. So I'm barely building my Dina community, which is, you know, you and Nadia and Jasmine and
we were with Jasmine. Shout out Jasmine.
Jossie.
Shout out Jasmine. We had fun. We ate some Chili Barkers. That was my first stop at the Hood Liberation Market was Chili Barkers. Shout out Chili Barkers because he does, like I said before on this podcast, he did a cornbread cupcake with chili inside and sour cream and chives and everything and cheese, everything you need for it to be delicious. And it was fucking bomb. And I definitely make sure to support him. He's a young hustler here in the community doing his thing. And it's really important that we like make an effort to, you know, shop local, because yesterday was Black Friday. And obviously there are so many reasons why we should shop local. But there are so many sales all over everywhere waiting for people to. Did you partake in any sales that you are embarrassed of?
No, I'm not embarrassed, but if you guys work out and you like athletic leisure gear, because sometimes I just be wearing
Jen, she has all the plugs. Tell
just
us.
Be comfortable, because I love being comfortable. That's like my number one thing. So Girlfriend Collective, it's a recyclable, they make athletic leisure gear out of recycled bottles, which is crazy. So talk about sustainability. And the bras are bomb.
Those are cute.
They're 30% to 50% off, so go get you some today.
It's a Small Business Saturday, right? Well, they're small business, aren't they?
They're big as fuck now, but
Shout out to going from small to big. That's what we like to hear.
It is what it is.
From small to big. You know, we also, what did I buy? I bought a bomb ass, big ass thing of like body butter from Center In Co., which is a black woman owned brand. And for $20, I got a big tub of bomb smelling body butter, and I can't get enough of body butter. And then my friend, she got me a body scrub from Dream Scent LA, so shout out to them. And I used it today and it was just so luxurious and feel my skin.
I can smell it too. It smells bomb.
And I feel, you know, everything that I got, we also had, what did they have? They have a photo booth. That was fun. They had a photo booth, and it's just nice to see a community out together, kind of just like being outside. And it's like an easy way to create community, kind of like you said, like, you know, because you interact with these people when you're buying their products, but you also get a chance to, like, you know, talk a little bit and hear a little bit about their story, or just see in general what they're about. And we heard from one of the girls that not only does she have her small business, but that she created a school drive for school supplies in El Sereno.
Oh, right.
Yes. And we'll get you her info. Her stuff was cute as fuck.
Her IG is masamor.boutique. And she gives, was it 30? 12% of each purchase goes to the community of El Sereno, which I thought that was like sold. Okay.
Yes. We love it. We love to hear it. So, what else? I got this shirt from...
You need to stand up for that one.
Damn.
The back is fire.
I forgot who I got it from, guys. Wait, I'm going to get you that name. But then look at the back. See? It's no name. Or if you look on my story, it's tagged. Please check for me so I can tell everyone, because this shirt is fire. And I bought myself this shirt with the conscious awareness of abundance mentality, because this shirt was $55. But when we were in Mexico, Jen was talking to me about a scarcity mentality, because I wanted to buy something and I didn't buy it because I felt it was too much. But she was talking about how money is like in flow, going back and forth, and you can't get it until you're willing to give it away. So I thought, what better way to spend it, my hard-earned $55, than with a small business from a kid from Pasadena, selling his clothes right there with his homies. He could have been doing anything in the world on a Saturday, but he was there hustling, and we love to see it. And so that makes me feel good about where I spend my money, and that's why Hood Liberation is so important. And do we have any comments?
Yes, a bunch. So Arlene said hi.
Arlene, I'm going with her to a concert tonight. We're going to go see G Perico.
And she said, wear that shirt tonight. She's ready.
What else?
And then somebody invited you to please be on their podcast. I can't see it all because I'm just a normal human being.
You only have so many eyes.
But somebody invited. So if you guys are still in the chat, put in who you are and get the Millennial Mija on your podcast.
Not the Millennial Mija. Not the Millennial Mija.
Mija.
We have more. I saw comments from...
Oh, shirt Arlene. By Known Name Co.
Yeah, thank Known you. Name Co. At N... No, 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 no.
Known?
No. Known as in K-N-O. No. Okay.
No name. Yeah. Somebody linked it in the chat.
Thank you very much. I don't need to spell it. Thank God. But we're currently pre-recording this podcast because I have a big announcement to make. Which sound effect should I play for that?
Hold on. Straight up show podcast. Okay. I want you on a show, sis. Okay. Calvin.
Okay. Calvin, what's up? I can never see the fucking comments, so I'm just like seeing words pop up and I'm like, cool, hope I'm answering your questions. I can't see that far. Well, okay, so my drum roll is I'm going to be on another podcast. It's going to be called On the Boulevard. It's going to be with DJ Marina Moreno and my homegirl, Sammy Joe the Fox. I'm excited to jump on that podcast because it's going to be our take, a Millennial Mija take, because we all three of us are Millennial Mijas. We're a Millennial Mija's take on the Art LeBeau show. And we're going to talk about homegirl wellness, but we're also going to be playing like all the songs from our childhood. Not just oldies, but we're going to go into some Aaliyah and some, like, who knows, we might even throw some Backstreet Boys in there one of these days, whatever needs to happen. So On the Boulevard, that show is going to be Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. Thank Lord Jesus, please help me wake up on time to get ready. And I'm not the biggest morning person, but I'm willing to try because this is something new, and these are people who I feel really creatively like attracted to. Like I wanna be around these vibes, especially Sammy Joe, man. You gotta give it up to her. That girl does not stop working. She does not stop working, and we love to hear it. She's always doing a podcast, and I think it could rub off on me to be around people who are constantly like moving on to the next level of what they're good at. And that's someone I can learn from. I think Pastor P is in the building, y'all. That is Sammy Joe's mama. So we love her. She's always so supportive. Shout out to Pastor P. And so the On the Boulevard podcast will be starting tomorrow, November 28th at 11 a.m. Sunday morning podcast. So I'm excited about that, friend.
It sounds exciting. I had no idea, you guys. I'm just as surprised as you are. That's so fun.
I had to pick a day. And, oh, so you're probably wondering what's going to happen to the Millennial Mija podcast. It's going to be canceled. Psych. Just kidding. It's not. I'm going to move it to Saturday afternoons. I was trying to figure out a day that made sense to be able to continue to take guests, because most people are working during the week. So when I ask them to come to the show, it's easiest to ask them on a weekend. So I had originally put the Millennial Mija podcast to be on Sunday, because to me Sunday is like a day for rest and just a day for like reflection, and that's what I usually do on this podcast. So that's why I put it on Sunday. But I don't want to do I don't want to overwhelm myself and try to do a podcast in Montebello at 11 a.m. and then another podcast like all the way over here in Culver City at who knows what time, and then I'm gonna get here and be all frustrated on the mic, like I'm here, like I'll just like not in a great mood. And so to avoid that and to give myself grace, I decided that I'm gonna switch the day of my podcast to Saturday afternoons. Time to be determined, but most likely 3:30, because that's just an easy time for me. It's like the perfect amount of time for me to get up and still walk my dog and still make something to eat and still get ready with enough time to get here to curl my hair. That's...
And she ain't playing.
That's the dream. Because, you know, we had some getting ready issues in the beginning when we were in Mexico. So we should talk a little bit about that. Let's talk a little bit about Mexico and our experiences. Because we went to Mexico City, y'all. We went to Mexico City, and it was so fire. Let's start with talking about, like, in chronological order, I guess. So we got there Monday at night.
Mm-hmm. Everybody should know that when you're traveling, the day you travel in and the day you travel out are gone. So you can deduct those two off top.
Mm-hmm. So we did it on purpose. We got there on a Monday and we left on a Monday. So we would have the whole of Sunday, like a whole extra day, which ended up being so perfect. What did Arlene say? What are you saying, girl? I'm wondering, should I get laser eye surgery, guys? Should I? That's Arlene, the real question.
Were you late? Were you late, Angie?
I late? No, but no. You want to know the latest person ever is my girl right here, Arlene. That's why I told her. She asked me to go to a concert with her tonight, and I was like, look, I'll go with you if you start getting ready at 9 a.m. And she was like... that's the only way I'm agreeing to go with you anywhere, fool. So the first time we ever went out, she was in the... We were all high. She was putting her lashes on for like, I was giving a tutorial of her doing her lashes for like 15 minutes. And then by the time we went in there, we missed the DJ. And I was like, no, I wasn't like that. I was like, yeah, that's the one. I was like, What's up? Oh, what up? Chopped Cherries, Desiree. Hey, girl. Shout out to Desiree. She has an embroidery business. And she used to do my sweatshirts. What's up? What'd she say? Shut up. Shut up. Not real.
Yes, it was real. Take that long, though. That's what she said. Hold on. Somebody said, with your gold luggage. On your...
Who said that?
Only one.
That was my NFT. Oh, Eric. That was my NFT luggage. And that eventually came in handy, and we'll tell you why. So we got there Monday, and the first person I talked to in Mexico had an attitude with me. Remember the guy at the immigration when he asked me something in Spanish? I was like, huh?
She asked him, huh, like three times, and he was not having it. He was just like, girl, just talk to me in English.
First, because he had a mask on, too. I mean, not that I'm like the best at Spanish in the first place, but I feel like I got better over the week. I feel like I got way more comfortable over the week. What else?
The NFT luggage, man, you will never lose it.
No, I won't. I won't ever lose it. Because there's no one else that has that glittery gold luggage than me. Like, so it's just easy to identify. And it's like one of them hard shell luggages. So you don't have to worry about it getting wet or anything, which I like that part. But Jen, let's talk about Jen's packing situation. Because I don't know how she does it. I got no idea how she does it, but let's talk about how you packed your whole life into that small ass carry-on.
The Away carry-on, see, has a lifetime warranty.
This
shit is mad. Yeah, Away, sponsor me, because I can make anything fit in there.
Come closer.
But the Away carry-on, that shit is mad flexible, and they be telling you, like, you can fit anything in here. So I literally do, and then I have my boyfriend stand on it. But I forgot he wasn't going to be there. Like,
when we packed our shit on the way back.
So I was like, Angie, can you please stand on here? And then I'm going to stand on it on the other side. And I was struggling, y'all. And I had to ask Angie for help. I was like, can I put some stuff in your thing? And of course we went overweight because I bought
2 pounds over.
I bought hella shit. Because when you go to Mexico, I mean, there's so much shit that is just not here in America, thank God.
And especially not at those prices.
You feel me?
We had, on the way going there, we had 15 extra pounds that we were all excited to fill up. Then we got a little too excited, and we went to 17 pounds. What else? So we got there. We got to we stayed in Polanco, which Jen informed me is like the Beverly Hills of Mexico City. And it definitely was. When we got there, it was like very beautiful. And the buildings were all like ornate and just like rich. Like, I don't know what else to say. They were just rich. And what else?
Why did somebody say Jen needs to make a YouTube channel for packing? I really do, y'all. I be having the little cubes, everything. I'm just going to start recording. I'm going to get a GoPro on my head, and I'm going to start recording myself.
How many trips would you say you've taken?
In my life?
Sure.
Oh, I don't know. A whole lot.
A whole lot. That's your answer. That's why she's so good at it, at kind of like navigating the travel space. What else? So we got there, and then we just went to go eat? Or what did we do?
Yeah, we were hung, y'all, because the first... Number one, you get there at dinner time. We had breakfast, maybe, who knows. But we had tacos, of course. You gotta go land and get some tacos. It's what everybody has to do.
Yes, we got tacos. We got some bomb ass pastor tacos from this place, which it turned out to be a chain, but it's still bomb as fuck. What was it called?
I don't know. I'm going to call it Pastor Puppy.
It was something Pastor. Yeah, it was Pastor. Casa de Pastor.
Casa del Pastor.
Damn. I can't believe I remembered that, you guys. I will be making a travel YouTube channel soon.
Sammy said, I hate and I love her.
Which one? Me or Jen?
I want to meet you, by the way, Fox.
Please. Fill them passport pages. Oh, yeah. Yes, you got to come to our show one of these days on the Boulevard again, Sundays at 11 a.m. And we will be We will be vibing. Okay, let's just say that. Because anytime me and Sammy get together, it's a vibe. And add Marina in the mix, and she just added to the vibe with the, she added the soundtrack to the vibe. So it was just, it's definitely gonna be great. Okay, so what else?
Oh, she said you, Angie.
What?
You like, mean? Not me.
It wasn't me. So what else? So we went and we got some bomb tacos, and then we just went home and we knocked.
Okay, because we scheduled, this is the thing, like, I as a traveler have never done Airbnb experiences. I was like, I'm gonna do my own. I was always like very like adamant about doing my own planning. And then I saw the Airbnb experiences and I was like, yo, people just have expertise and I should just trust them. And so we just trusted them and I was
we
like,
we did read all the sucks. Reviews though. We did we did our due diligence. We sat at a bakery in Glendale and we planned our trip. So there's like an aspect to the trip that I guess I would have just like neglected, and then that would have like set me up for failure, which is the planning aspect of it. Like not just showing up and being like, oh, what are we gonna do? We had enough of an itinerary for there to be like structure, but not too much that we couldn't change plans at any time.
Yeah, I call it a permanent rough draft. Like that's literally just rough, and you never, it's not like, oh, I have to eat here and then go here, and then it's just like a outline.
Yeah, it was just an outline. That's exactly what it was. So we made our little outline and we put that. So our first Airbnb experience was to Teotihuacan, which are the Pyramid of the Sun and the Pyramid of the Moon and all of the other ruins that are there in that very holy city. And that was a really special stop for me because the reason why I wanted to go to Mexico City in the first place was because ever since I was little, my dad would tell me that we would go see the pyramid, and we never got a chance. So I was able to bring his ashes with me to bury that. My idea was to spread them at the top of the pyramid, and I was like prepared to climb every single 260 of those steps to get up there and do that, but that wasn't an option because the stairs are crumbling due to too many people walking up, and I guess COVID too, but mostly because the stairs are crumbling, and we weren't allowed to walk up. So kind of like it almost like got me mad. Like it almost got me mad, but then I realized where I was and like how of little importance that was in the grand scheme of things. It was like, well, how am I going to get mad at, like, you know, I think I just kind of surrendered in that moment. And we'll talk a lot about that in this podcast. But it was like, okay, well, it's not going to look the way I initially thought I was going to look in my head. So does that mean I'm going to give up on the whole thing? Or does that mean I'm going to adapt and figure something else out? So I decided that the next holiest place that would be instead of the top would be like at the center, at the base of the pyramid. So that's what I did. And it was kind of like nerve-wracking after the first time I did it. Because I went back and did it a second time because I still had more ashes. But the first time is because there was like so many people around and we don't even know if that's legal, which is probably not, because it's illegal to take a rock from there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was illegal, but we're not.
Yeah, we're not. I mean, we are saying it now on the podcast, so we're admitting to our guilt, but we fled the country. Like,
and I was standing blocking her, like making her casita. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I don't tell you nothing, friend. I got your back.
So I like kind of did it fast the first time. And then when we got some free time, I had a clover pendant, like a gold clover pendant that I wish I would have taken a picture of. But I had found it at, my mom gave it to me from an estate sale. And anytime we find three leaf clovers, I keep them because they remind me of my dad. And so I buried a pendant, his ashes, and a picture of him at the base center of the pyramid, and just kind of sat there for a while, and it just made me cry. Not too much, but also because I'm like hyper aware of everyone around me, and I'm like definitely not trying to break down in public. But I cried, and Jen was there. She came and hugged me, my friend. And it was like, I don't know, it was a really special moment. But again, it was kind of like rushed a little. So when we got some free time, I decided to go back and sit there and just do a journal entry and just kind of like try to take in the moment and put the rest of the ashes there. And I got to do that. And I let myself cry like kind of hard. And out of nowhere, all the people left. So I was there alone, like just at that little area at that exact time. Everyone was kind of like somewhere else.
Just the process.
So I like I gave the moment a chance to happen again, and it like happened the way it was supposed to. And then I felt good about it. So I did my little like short journal entry, and I kind of sketched the pyramid a little, and I left because that was the rest of our free time. And then we had our so tell me your experience, your second experience of with a tour guide as opposed to your first experience.
First of all, we don't know shit.
We don't know shit because I went there thinking those were the Aztec pyramids, and I left looking like this. Like, oh, I was like,
the Teotihuacan people.
Yeah,
it was a people.
Yeah.
Apparently, the Aztecs didn't even live nowhere near there. They were in Mexico City, so y'all better get that right.
Yeah, you know. Man. And me over here thinking proud Chicana, brown and proud. Don't even know shit. Don't even know anything about my actual like ancestral history and shit. So that was really cool about having a tour guide, was learning from people who were like, let's talk about Jane.
Hold on, I was gonna say Jane and Sergio, but it's really the Jane show.
It's the Jane show.
Look,
tell them about Jane. Set the scene. Which she was wearing a hat.
Oh, she looked like the
female Indiana Jones.
Remember that Backyardigans or what was it? Where the ladies wearing like a safari thing.
Oh yeah, what was that show called with the little brother that's like a little monkey? Like
a monkey mono.
He's
like
wild. A mono.
Yeah. Well, she looked like her, and she was so sweet, and she drove she drove her truck, or she drove us in the big old like. Van, she was, man, if you ever been to the FN, you've been in a car, man, you feel like you're gonna lose your life like every 5 minutes, on God. But she drove us there, and she's a historian, like an actual historian, has her master's in history, and now she's getting her PhD, and she is just researching the place. And not only is she researching and learning about Teotihuacan, but she also created a foundation to save the caves that are now like, yes, really popular, and people are excavating really obnoxiously and not protecting the land that belonged to farmers after the revolution. So she is empowering the people to actually take care of it, and it became a UNESCO site. And she fought
because
for it.
Of her, because of her, literally because she created a petition, right? It was a petition, and she uses the proceeds from the tours that her and her husband give to pay for her fight in the struggle to save these caves. And so the second part of the experience, so there's like three parts of the experience for the for that day at Teotihuacan. And the second part of it was that we left the pyramids area, and we went to go have lunch, and we had lunch in a cave. We had lunch in a cave. Oops, no. It was very eerie. Oh, no, it wasn't. It was really cool. But when we walked in, there was like all these like colorful lights, and like I said, this looks like Disneyland. This is like a Disneyland ride. And to come to find out, the person who was like excavating all of that land there, that was their intention, was to create like an underground cave theme park.
Yeah, he was like some rich
amusement guy. Park or something. Well, I guess, yeah, that's the same shit. But either way, it was so beautiful to hear her talk about, like, she's really passionate about saving that space and what it really means. So we went down to have lunch, and we had we met some friends, which was cool about the whole trip, was these Airbnb experiences gives you a chance to make friends in an unawkward way. Like, you know, because you're just like making conversation around, like you're all there, you know. At first, we didn't really talk to people in the car. But then when we got to like the lunch part, we got a chance to talk to a few people that were just like cool, like probably people we would have never met. These two white guys that were just cool. And the second part after that, we then got to go explore the caves, and we're inside of a cave, and she was telling us that to the indigenous people there, that's called the underworld. And so right before we walked in, she said that the tradition is to touch the rocks and to ask permission to enter. And so we all kind of like took that moment, and I guess that should have tipped me off about like what kind of experience we're about to have, but it didn't. And so I'm just like, okay, I did it just kind of like out of obligation, but also to like, that was a special moment, like just touching the rock and then like consciously asking permission to enter. So then we did that, and then we went inside, and then she took us down to the deepest part that I guess that she could, and it was the darkest dark I've ever been in.
Yeah, it was.
And the most silent I've ever been in. And so she asked us, she told us we were all going to turn off our lights right now and just kind of sit in silence for a couple minutes and just like see how that feels. And that was, so we all turn off our lights. And she's like, if anybody gets scared, like you could turn on your light or you can get out or whatever. But I didn't expect anything, but I didn't expect this. So as soon as the lights went off, I just started bawling. Like it was all I could do to not like make noises. Cause I was like, you know, when you're like crying hard and you make noises, but I'm literally sitting next to Jen and then I'm sitting like in close quarters with all these people. And I'm like, then I just can't breathe. And I'm like, like snorting and shit. Cause I'm like crying so much and I can't understand what's making me cry.
She did have a prompt. So
what was the prompt? Yeah,
that, because that made me cry. And I think, I don't know if that's what was triggering, but she said in the underworld, this is what it's like. They cannot come out. It's dark. It's peaceful. It's quiet. But they have no ability to come back. And I think that is what kind of was like, whoa, like, yeah, as human beings, like, when we still have life, we have the ability to walk out of that cave and hear and see and all the lights and all the noise and hear each other and speak to each other. But in the underworld, that's it. Once you pass, you know, you go. And it might be a tranquil, really quiet place, but it's dark and you can't come out of that anymore. Mm-hmm. And so that, to me, was like, wow.
I wish I could remember the prompt, and it was so simple.
She said, like, when you come out of here, you know, take a
few
minutes.
Be a better person.
What can you do to be a better
person? Yes, yes, yes. Uh-huh.
And that in that moment, I was like, be the light. Like, mm-hmm. Why wouldn't we want to come out of here being the light?
Yeah.
Holding the door for somebody, doing a good deed for somebody, asking somebody how they're doing, holding somebody. Maybe it's just smiling at somebody that you don't know. But it was like, what are you willing to do just today? Cause she said, you know, humaning is hard, but for today, when you come out of this cave, what can you do to be a better person?
That reminds me of, the prayer from NA with growing up, which was just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery. And it's just like, it's the repetition of just for today, just for today. And the idea is that if you just get through every day, you eventually get through your lifetime. And that reminds me so much of that. It was, you know, it was intense. Like that silence was intense and the darkness was intense. And I definitely think it was me. I'm definitely getting a chance to cry more for what I had just done, to give myself, but well, not give myself, because I still hadn't really like given myself a space to kind of like feel the emotion that just came with doing that. So then this lady came up to me after, like, she was one of the people in our group, and she just came up to me. She's like, hi, I don't know you, but can I hug you? And it was just like so loving. And she's like, yeah, I heard you asking questions when we first got here. She's like, I don't know, I just kind of sensed that this meant a lot to you. And she, at that point, she still didn't know anything about my dad. And then I kind of let her know. I was like, yeah, actually, you know, this is what just happened. And I buried his ashes, and she just gave me a hug, and she had lost her dad too. So we kind of bonded on that. And she just gave me like a really long hug. You know, when you like are past the point of a polite hug and you're like, oh no, now this is a real hug. Mm-hmm. That's a real hug. And it was like the perfect people were just supposed to be there. The perfect people were there, and we just kind of bonded on that. And then we got a chance to go and like dig for stuff, kind of like, even it's shit they put there, but they like make you feel like you just like you're an archaeologist now. And then it was cool because we played like a little game, even though I gave up after a certain while, like the, what's that called? Scavenger hunt? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did like a scavenger hunt. And we, what else did we do after that? Then we went home? Mm-hmm. No, then we went home. So that was a cool experience. Well, what was the cave like for you? Like, what was your feelings?
I think that obviously, like, respecting those who have passed and hoping that they are in a really tranquil place and a really peaceful space. My cousin passed this year, and I was like, I hope, you know, I hope that you're at peace, because I'm not sure that he was before. And so just kind of saying a goodbye in a way, and being that it was like Dia de los Muertos in early November, like a lot of the altars were still up, and so there was a lot of like grieving throughout the month. Yeah, so this month I was like crying in random in Mexico,
and also like, many of the altars were still up in Mexico. Yeah.
So it was cool to just be reminded that we can still remember the people who have passed on. And it's not like a taboo thing to cry, at least for me. I just be crying just anywhere now. I'm just like, and just letting it out, because it just needs to come out. I mean,
because if it doesn't, where does it go? Like, yeah, I still am not gotten to that point yet where like I definitely will cry, like the tears will come down, but I'm like not crying like the cry that needs to happen. I kind of still wait until I'm alone or just everyone's gone to sleep or whatever to just feel that. And I want to get to a point where I also, like you said, like fuck being polite. But I think there's like some level of like embarrassment or something, like because it's like it's definitely vulnerable, and you then, some people were made to feel as though vulnerable means weak, and so some of us are working through that. But that was just an incredible experience. So definitely look up Sergio y Jane on Airbnb Experiences. And if you get a chance to go to Mexico City, hit them up. And then the next day, we had another early morning excursion. And we went to Tolantongo. And we went to Las Grutas. And Las Grutas were just... Oh, I wanted to make this sound. They were just magical. They were just fucking magical. Man. Okay, so we also have an incredible person to suggest for you there. Shout out to Arturo, our new friend. Our new friend who is the tour guide for Las Grutas. And he was prepared for anything, honey. Let me tell you.
Anything.
anything and everything that you could need on a tour. This man got you, okay? He even had the headlamps for when we went to like explore the caves. And if you were watching on my story on Instagram, then you saw just like the fucking glee and joy we were having. Like I was just squealing like a little kid. Like I just had so much fun. It was so cool to just look up, like literally look up in wonder, like looking at that waterfall. That waterfall was something else. I was like, I ain't never seen nothing like this before. It was a whole side of a mountain that was a waterfall. So it's not like just one waterfall. It was like the whole thing. And it was just incredible to just sit there and watch it. And then we got to go inside, and all the water is warm, by the way, obviously, because they're the hot springs. So it was that your first time there?
Yeah, it was definitely my first. I didn't even know that it existed that close to Mexico City. We had seen it on IG many times. Mm-hmm. And I think we shared it also in our Season of Self group. I was like, I don't know where this is, but we need to go there.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, and I was like, it was during COVID. So I was like, I'm not going to research this because for what?
Yeah.
Be sad. But it just magically appeared on the Airbnb experience. And I was like, yo, this is the photo from the IG.
Yeah.
And then you had a whole other experience.
I think that photo is the one I screenshotted. So I had on my phone to this day, on my background, like when you open up the phone and you're looking, like the apps are right there, I have the Grutas, and I had never even known what the fuck that was or even where that was. And in my mind, I thought it was like, I don't know, I just never even thought about where it was. It was just like, I'm gonna go there one day. And it didn't even mean like soon. It just meant like eventually in my life. And fucking come to find out, that's Las Grutas in Tolantongo, and that's exactly where we went. And I still have that background on my phone, and I'm thinking like, okay, where am I gonna, what's my next background?
You need to fix something fire.
I think my next background is Greece and Italy. Oof. That might be our next our next fun friend trip together.
So one thing about the Tolantongo is that everybody has the picture of like the many baths, right? The natural mineral hot tubs or whatever. And I literally didn't know that there was, it's like an entire city in itself. Mm-hmm. So Hidalgo, Mexico owns this park, I guess, and it is a UNESCO site. And so it's a multiple tier park. So after the tubs, we kicked it there, and then we went ziplining.
Oh my god! Ziplining was fun as fuck. I was so down, but right before, my anxiety is like in the moment. Like, I know I want to do it, but like my anxiety in the moment is just like, oh, it's about to be scary as fuck, and all these different things could go wrong. And like, it was the same anxiety I felt the fucking day you made me eat a cricket. You and the whole fucking mercado were chanting for make. It was like that thing where like I looking at the fucking thing and I'm like, I know I have to fucking do this because everybody, I have to do it. So just fucking do it. But I did it anyway. But I was like, it's like that feeling of just like, ah, like right before you do it. And I think I'm the type of person that just needs that extra push. And then if I get it, then I'm like, oh, so I was so grateful. We got to zipline 3 times down the mountain. Like, I was like, the whole time I was going on the zipline, I was just saying, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Like, I was just so grateful. I don't think I've felt that grateful ever in my whole life. It was like, thank you for bringing me here. Thank you for the courage to do this. Thank you for just the opportunity to experience something new, because that opened something in me. Mm-hmm. That like definitely like opened something, like now the world seems like less scary, I guess, and that gives me courage to go do the next thing or plan the next trip or you know, actually take initiative to do so, because when you're there, you're like, why was I so scared of this?
And that, I think that's a gem in itself, and especially those of us who experienced trauma, whether long, long time ago or currently, or are in a rut. It's those moments where we choose to do something new that we've never done before. It triggers, it ignites. I would say it ignites like a fire inside you that kind of launches you forward into like living, like fully living and experiencing joy, which I think is something that we're stripped of when we've experienced any type of hardship, whether it's something recent or from a long time ago. It's really hard to experience joy. And so when you do something new that's outside, and we love routines. Anybody with trauma, you know, we love routines. We love this.
Because it's predictable. It's a sense of control.
That part.
It's definitely a sense of control in a world where you might not have any in any other like aspect of your life. And so the one thing that you can count on is the routine and the new experiences, because when you're in survival mode, new experiences are dangerous, because that could bring
bad people
or something that you come up against that you're not prepared for. So you're putting yourself in a position to, but it's like, Jesus Christ, it's not that serious. Like, and you don't really know that kind of, like, I have a mother that's like very strong and very like fierce like that. Mm-hmm. But that comes with a sharp edge, you know, like it comes with the part that you don't experience things because you're being so safe. You like to control your luck, as she says, you know, mm-hmm. like, and that like shuts you down in a way.
You know what? His name Eric, only mm-hmm. one. He said the ziplining was a metaphor for life. And that's definitely, it's to let go, right? And to just trust. Because you had to trust that man on that line.
Yeah. And you had to trust them cables.
Yes.
You had to trust the other guy to catch you.
All of that. No, that was perfectly said. And he also said, hold on, when he said, and you, he said Angie's a pro after the first time. Because we had to do it 4 times. Angie literally was like throwing herself out of him at the second time.
I ran and jumped. Like, what the fuck? Nobody would have ever thought. Who would have thunk? But man, that you're right. The zip line was definitely a metaphor for life. And it was like, I don't know, something just opened inside me. And I think it's like a next level of my season of self, I guess. Like, yeah. it's the door opens, you know, and like the door opens one time, but I guess the door keeps opening, mm-hmm. like into different stages of the season. And this part of the season is like about learning to surrender, I guess, and, you know, being open and willing to do new things and willing to get out of your way a little bit enough so that you can experience new things. Because for so long, like, for example, the time that it was set at would have stopped me before.
Yeah, we had a 5:50 a.m. call time.
Yeah, like be ready to get in the car at 5:50 a.m. and with all your shit packed for the whole rest of the day. Like, it was like a whole day. And just simple things like that, because of this like rigid idea of my in my mind that like I just am not a morning person no matter what. And that cuts off a whole 50% of life experiences because like morning. Mm-hmm. So it was the like it was that too. It's like the letting go of that level of control too, of like who you think you are. And to become who you, you know, like who you can eventually be. So, yeah, there's that. What else? What did we do next?
So that was part of it that we did. So the zip lining was like an added feature. I was like, we have to do that. So we did it.
And it was only 200 pesos, which is $10.
Yeah, and we definitely reconnected with our inner child.
Oh, my God. Thank you, Eric,
for saying that. He got all the gems.
Look, I know. Him. I know. He's, like, feeding us all our lines, like, all our best gems. Thank you, Eric.
But it's true. We definitely, after we experienced that, we got to eat and be by the river, which the river was, like, nobody ever. I've never seen photos of the river. And the river was, like, one of the most magical places. It's literally a current, a very strong current. Don't fuck with water, y'all.
A strong current.
Of, like, blue,
the bluest water. Like, not like crazy. It's so like ice blue.
Yeah.
And then like the because of the river, like the you know how it gets white, the white part.
Mm-hmm. Would it be the sand? I don't know, y'all. I'm not an archaeologist. Sand person. Rock I'm not a person.
Sandiologist.
But it was mad beautiful. And the current is so strong that they have built in like rock structures like mm-hmm. every few. So it looks like they made a little border. And boy, did we found out really quick
how strong the dam was. Yeah, we found out real quick how strong the current was. It like took me and then like pulled me almost. There's like a way where it was like pulling me under, but I don't know, like the warmness. I had never experienced a warm river ever. Like, well, I had never really gone to a river like that, like to go kick it in the river. I one time did for my sister's like something in like Arizona, but it was like we weren't doing anything. That was the point. We were just there to experience it and be there. And that's when we started really hanging out with our new friends, Arturo.
And Rowdy.
Shout out, Rowdy. We love you, Rowdy. And he was in the car with us on our way to the Grutas. He went alone on the excursion, which is also something that we got to talk to him about and how he travels alone. And he is from Austin, Texas. And he's our new homie.
Yes, we love Rowdy. And like, how magical is it that he can...
How magical is it that he loves traveling alone? Like, and it is like a whole vibe.
Yeah.
I think it's mad underrated, traveling alone.
We talked to him about that and also May, right? We talked to May about that. We also had another friend, which was like, that was one of the biggest things about the trip was that it was like so... aligned, like everything was aligned. We also got to see Angelica, who was on the show. She's a poet, and she was about to go meet with the producer and go get discovered and do big things because she could sing. And we also got to hang out with Kim from Brown Badass Bonita, who I had been following on Instagram forever. She has cute ass products and she just posts a lot of dope stuff.
Well, she just said hola beauties.
That's her?
Yes.
Oh my God, I didn't even see her name there, but yeah, she's there. And we got to hang out with her and she invited us to her her housewarming party, but we didn't get a chance to go because it was gonna be one day and then it wasn't and then didn't work out. But we loved hanging out with you, and I hope we get a chance to do it again. They live in the city of
Coyoacan.
Coyoacan, yeah, which is where the Frida Museum is, which is where we'll talk about, or wait, do you want to talk at all about the caves? Like exploring the caves? What was that like for you?
The caves were super dope. I mean, because the water is so strong that they have like ropes inside that you literally have to hang on to for dear life and just like swim forward. But I mean, it was magical. Anybody who wants to go, just take the trek, go with Arturo. You'll be in good hands. It's way worth, don't even, those 3.5 hours at the on the road, you won't even feel them.
No.
You'll be sleeping or you'll be watching Netflix or you'd be reading. I don't know.
I was watching Tiger King 2. Tiger King 2 came out, y'all. And that's how when we knew Rowdy was going to be our friend, because we were about to get out of the car and we thought Rowdy was white. We thought he was a white boy straight up. And so then when Jen was like, all right, we're going to go eat, I was like, damn, these white people are wilding. And then he just started laughing. And then we were kind of like, oh, okay. And then we went inside and then we just became friends. And he thought I had the best chilaquiles I had there was at that buffet at that hotel.
Like a random buffet.
Random. And they were bomb. But, wait, okay, so caves. Then.
Coyoacan?
Yeah, Coyoacan. That was my other favorite. That was my second favorite. Well, no, that was my first favorite place to be. We got to go there and hang out with Angelica and Kim at the Mercado over there. And we got some tostadas, which I'm going to be honest, I didn't like them. It was a no from me, dog. But I loved the vibe because that's where I tried my first
Chapulín.
Girl, oh my God. I was like, hell no. This was so, it was like, so there was a big ass, because everywhere they're selling them like big ass buckets of them. And I just went to go look, and that was the biggest mistake of my life. Because
he's seen you.
Because when he, no, you were like, she never tried one. And then she told the guy, and the fucking guy was like, you have to try it. So then I was like, no, like, just no attention, please. And and then everybody started saying it, and then it was just like a peer pressure situation, and I would really like to report you to the Bureau of Bullying.
You're welcome.
And I tried it and it was crunchy.
It sure was.
Ew, it was crunchy. And it was like really lemony. But that was a one and done for me. I'm not going to be like... But let me tell you what I did eat a lot of. Chips.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Powered by chips.
Somebody needs to make her a sticker that says powered by chips. We're going to put it on the back of her car. I never seen nobody eat this many chips. I started to get concerned by day 4. I was like, girl, eat food.
No, but the thing, I was eating food too, trust me. But it was the half empty bags by the time like we were leaving, cuz I just wanted to sample all the chips. Like I mean some of the bags I definitely ate the full bag, but by the time we were leaving we had like a bunch of open chip bags and like I just didn't get to finish them. But because the chips are undefeated in Mexico, okay? Especially if you like hot chips. They take hot chips to a different level, and it's just like so good. It's so good. I love the chips.
You had a saying too.
Which one? So many papas, so little time. Because there was so many little like carts with the papas. Like, man, how about that one guy with the, or the one girl papas with Lucas? The big ass bag of Cheeto puffs. An industrial size. Let's tell them about that Mercado. Or we haven't got there yet. Yeah, we'll get there anyway. So I wanted to go to, so her friend, let's start by saying her friend made like a guide, right? And I'm reading through the guide.
Oh, this is another friend. She's like a Google Docker. Like she's, there's always
a
like
Google Doctor.
Yeah, she might as well be a Google Doctor. There's always like somebody who loves to travel with Google Docs. That shit ain't me. It's just not. But I will respect the work of all the Google Doctors. And then I will ask them for like, can I see your Google Doc? Because I'm always curious. Obviously, they usually have like the same, top 20 things that you want to do. But there was one where I was like the witch doctor, and I was like, the fuck is the witch
and me,
doctor?
At that point, I needed Olympia real bad. Okay, so I was like, I look at the guide, and it says something about a witch market, and so I'm like, let's definitely go that way. Let's go to that one. And when we got there, we fucked around and found out. We fucked around. First of all, on the way there, this should have been a clue. And on the way there, the Uber driver was like, take off your necklace, take off your rings, take off everything. And we sure did. And and then we got there and we saw a really difficult thing to see, which was a lot of animals that were just like crowded in their cages and not clean, and just it was hard to watch, especially if you're an animal lover. But so we ended up getting the fuck out of there pretty fast. We were just like, okay, well, this ain't for us.
And then I was like, hold on, this must be the downtown LA for...
No, that was legit the Callejones. That was like, it looked exactly like the Callejones, but...
With all the witch stuff. They had all the santos, it was like, yeah, all in the wholesale. Beads. Yep. So I was like, oh, this is where the brujas come to get their stuff. They had the huevos. I was like, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So this is what I guess they meant, but we didn't see nobody giving limpias. So we were just kind of like, you know, at this point, let's just get the fuck out of here. And so we did our little... field trip over there. Oh, but before we went there, we went to an antique market, which was dope as fuck. La Lagunilla. Mm-hmm. That was fun. It was cool. If you love like old shit, and I do, and we love vintage. And you found a cute... What'd you find?
They had like
all some cute pants,
dead stock like pants from the 80s and the 90s. I was like, what? We get into this. It had the stirrups in the, because they're like pant leggings. You know, y'all know how in the 80s and the 90s they used to have stirrups around, like even the little girls. Remember how we used to wear?
If you know, you know.
And I got me some of those in like a mustard
in this metallic color.
Yeah, but like even more metallic.
Yeah,
it was crazy.
Yeah, it was so cute.
And then they had like barbershop tools, like before they were electronic, like that you had to like press to cut. It was crazy. It was like a super dope place to see just shit from like all the way from like the 70s, 50s.
Think of like the Rose Bowl flea market, but way cooler and way less hyped up, like a gentrified. Like the prices were definitely like affordable. Don't get me wrong, some people knew exactly what they had. But like for the most part, it was just like a cool experience to, I don't know, I like going, like you said, going where the local people go. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. Instead of, because there definitely do some like tourist shit, but sorry, I got distracted. I got distracted with a song. Wait, what were you saying?
La Lagunilla is a market. Like usually it's like the swap meet, right? So it's like you would go down to Slauson or whatever, but the inside is like that, so all the shit from China, all the bootleg shit. But the outside is where all the antiques are. So just so you know, because there's levels to it.
Yeah, there's levels to it. We also got to hang out with your friend.
Yes, May. May was so
shout out May.
May from Oakland.
Shout out Oakland. Shout out the Bay. She's cool as fuck, and we ended up spending the whole day with her, and I just loved how we didn't really have like an agenda. Like we just like hung out, and then at the end of the night, we discovered that our Airbnb had like the bombest rooftop little patio area, and it was so dope. Like we got to sit up there. I brought some chips. We smoked a blunt, of course, and we just talked, and we just like talked and vibed, and it was just It was just, I don't know, it was so, like, filling. Like, if it was so filling to just be around, I don't know, dope women?
Mm-hmm. Strong women.
Yeah.
Dope, strong women who are just, you know, out here healing and doing shit and experiencing life. I would say, untraditionally.
Yeah.
From an untraditional standpoint. Because she's from Laos, and I know, like, we're all from different backgrounds, but it's like what brings us together is that we're all just, you know, trying to heal and be better people and strong people. Mm-hmm. I think, and May is super dope. That day is like the epitome of what I like to travel as. It's just like letting it flow, experiencing shit, knowing what's for you, and then knowing when to get out of things.
Yeah, knowing when to get the fuck out of there.
And then being like, okay, well, on to the next.
Yeah.
And just really letting it flow and surrendering to like our surroundings and what's going on.
And surrender is a big part of travel. I saw that like real clearly. And so surrender is also something that I'm going to talk a little bit about the books I'm reading and books I just finished. And yeah, so we'll talk more about Mexico when it pops up back into the conversation. But so I just finished Will, which is the book, Will Smith's memoir. And I listened to it on audiobook because that's just my style. But I really also just like hearing their voices tell the story. So this book, he basically at the whole entire beginning of the book is him telling the story of his career. But it's very like all about his accomplishments and all of the things he was able to accomplish, and how he was the first rapper to ever win a Grammy, and how he was the first this and the most highest grossing actor in the world, and all of these different accomplishments, these achievements that at the time he felt defined who he was. And by the end of the book, you know, he wraps up his perspective by talking about him learning to swim and talking about his relationship with what his therapist called the big she, which is the ocean, because he didn't know how to swim. And it also kind of went along with the theme of the book, which was him constantly trying to gain approval from the woman in his life. And how when he was learning to woo her like the ocean, it was not about doing anything. It was about surrendering to her will and respecting her power. Mm-hmm. And he kind of like Taylor, like puts that into how he eventually learned to love Jada. But you know, he talks about how he felt powerless in the ocean. You know, like he felt kind of like the reason why he never learned to swim was because he wasn't able to control the outcome. Of what would happen there. And so he talks about how before he started kind of like on this journey of trying to figure himself out, when he took some time from work away and started to live his life instead of try to achieve his life, because that's what he had been trying to do. He talks about how it feeling strangely liberated where he used to feel powerless. And I sent this clip to Jen because it was a big one to me. Like it was, I learn like through storytelling, I guess. Like I learned big lessons through other people's stories. And so some things just hit harder than others. And he talks about how, you know, all of the things he used to think were weaknesses could actually be the key that he had been missing. Like losing could be equal to winning in regards to his development. And he says that and it's like, wait, what? Because the word surrender doesn't have to mean powerless. It can mean like you understand that there's a power greater than yourself. And that is what Jen had been talking about the whole trip and prior to the trip, which was being in flow. Can you talk about that a little?
Yeah, being in flow has been something that I've been trying to learn and be in flow of, but like flow is a feminine energy, if I have that correct. So it's the opposite of the hustle mentality. And I think those of us who, well, I was just like, Will, like you have to hustle to get forward. You have to hustle to get something in life. You have to hustle to get what you want in life. And lately I've been learning that it's quite the opposite, that it's a balance of the two, and there's a lot of duality that needs to take place. And so half of it is hustle and the other half of it is knowing when to flow, knowing when to let go, and to kind of go and trust your intuition and trust what's coming. And that could be at work, that can be in your relationships, that can be, if we're talking about the holidays, that can be with your family. But stopping the like trying to fit the square into the circle, and just letting, like, fuck it, we ain't squares and we ain't circles. Like, just let it go. Mm-hmm. Like, we're just never gonna be. No one will ever be like you. No one will ever think like you, and none of us should, right? That would be hella boring. But I think we say that, but then we don't like when people are different from us.
Yeah.
Or when people don't fit the mold that we want.
That we created for them. And I think it's called radical acceptance. I learned that in DBT class, which is dialectical behavior therapy. And I learned about radical acceptance, and like, because one of the things that I would struggle with was wishing things were different. And like focusing on the wish so much, like wishing things were different so much, that I can't live in the moment at all because I'm focused on wishing that the moment was different. And when they taught me about radical acceptance, I kind of like, obviously I'm still like trying to apply the concept, but it was like a a light bulb turned on. It made sense to me. It was like accepting things as they are instead of being upset about them not being as I want them to be. And again, that's again surrender. That's the same concept as surrender. And the book is just like you listen to some of it. Like when we were in the Airbnb, I kind of had it on my speaker, and there are some points in the book where you're like, I didn't understand why he was telling certain stories. And a lot of people have you like seen any headlines about like, but okay, well, like on Shade Room, and like people make fun of him a lot for things that he said in the book. And the thing, and there's one part where he says, like, I debated putting a lot of things that I have put in this book in the book. He's like, but I decided ultimately that I needed to because it was the truth. And that is like really, really important. Like, he was like called corny. Obviously, we all know that Will Smith was called corny and as a rapper, and wasn't, because he wouldn't cuss and, you know, do this and that. But I think he's just real honest in the book about all of that stuff and about his feelings about it, and like radically accepting those things about himself. And how it led him to later, you know, move to this point in his life where he was more open to receiving guidance and things like that. So definitely, if you get a chance, read the book. I liked what it said about losing could be like equal to winning, like all those things. Do you remember anything else he said? He's like, he's talking about letting go in order to be in flow. Yeah, to kind of like live with the current, and how his relationship to the ocean it was like a metaphor for his relationship to himself. He also talks about taking ayahuasca and like what that was like, and like how, would you ever take it? No?
I've done what people experience. I think I've shared with you, I've done it in a therapeutic way, just without the need to throw up. So if y'all really want to like get to those points, like there's other ways to do it without the drug, but it's definitely like a way to get to what's the root of things. Mm-hmm. Or your subconscious mind, and there's different ways of doing that.
Yeah,
without the drug. But if you, that's what you like, I mean, do you.
Yeah, that was one of the parts that he was like, I didn't know if I should put this in there, but it's part of my story and it helped a lot. What did Eric say?
Eric with all the gems, hold on. He said, like Kanye said, there's 1,000 yous, but there's only one. Only one of me. And he said, that's where my name comes from. It's to celebrate our individuality and to remind everyone how unique we are. 100%. 100%. And I think that even like with what has happened in the last year, right? There's so much hate and anger and resentment towards the other, whether that be white people or
people, whatever, who are not like you.
Yeah, people who are not
conservative versus Republican, like mask versus unmask. Like there's like that we're like more at war than we ever have been, like when it comes to just like communicating as humans. Mm-hmm. Like there's like a huge barrier between us and the world, because we think again the other, like, mm-hmm, you're not like me, so you must be bad.
Mm-hmm. Or those like judgments, right, when we think somebody is not like us, like traveling and realizing like, oh, he's Latino, he just got green eyes and light hair, like, mm-hmm, like these little things that we create. Instead of just accepting people and seeing like what they're really about. I mean, I think that we really just kind of threw ourselves into like this adventure that we did, and we were just like, we don't know what anybody's about, but we were really in flow and just being like, well, we'll figure it out. And we have a choice. Like, people forget that we have a choice to like, we can back up when we're not ready anymore, or when we don't like what's going on. Like, you can easily take yourself out of a situation. But we were really in flow and meeting people, and then it was all alignment. Like the people that we met, the beauty in everybody that we met, and they were all on their healing journey in one way or another. Mm-hmm.
It's like we attracted it, I think. Like, just by being willing to go. Mm-hmm. Just by showing up.
Which I think for me was like, I was always hesitant to travel with new people because I'm like, I don't really know, like, what would that look like?
Yeah.
And that was my resistance, right, to flow, is like, I love Angie, but I've never traveled with her. What would that be like? Mm-hmm. And I had to surrender and be like, well, bitch, what are you going to travel with the same?
There's only one way to find out. That's my answer to everything. There's only one way to find out.
Yeah, and you have to try things in life that are uncomfortable and different and maybe are not, you know, what you're used to. Because I'm used to, like, the same three people that I travel with. And even, my boyfriend can attest to this. I was, like, weary about him coming on trips with me. I was like, I don't know. We had different standards.
Like, you don't have to fill out an application.
Like, I have a whole thing. But I was like, okay, Jennifer, you are trying to control too many things. Like, let go. And you might have a good-ass time. And I literally had a grand old time.
We had a grand old time. Yeah, let go and let God. That's what the, that's a saying I grew up hearing, but that's also a saying that Will Smith explores in his book about how surrender, like he never understood, his grandma would always say that too, let go and let God, like many of our, you know, elders would say, but it didn't really make sense until it makes sense. Like it really doesn't make sense until it makes sense. And for everyone, that moment is different. And just, again, I think just by showing up, which is half the battle most of the time, just by showing up, we open the door for flow to occur. Mm-hmm. We created the conditions for that to happen. Mm-hmm. And then when it happened, we didn't resist.
Yes. Yep. Because we could easily, like, jump in and be like, ugh.
Yeah.
And jump out. But someone said there's a gray zone in choice. Feel free to elaborate on that. When I say choice, I mean, like, at any point, like, I have a choice to engage or disengage, right? In an activity or to protect my energy, right? Because we do have a choice in a lot of things. Oftentimes, we have these expectations of things, and that really, really messes up the flow because mm-hmm. we're
married to our expectations.
Yes. Yes.
And then when something else happens outside of that, it upsets us because it takes us out of control. But if you never believed you were in control in the first place and you radically accept that, then you're like, your life opens up to you in a way that it wouldn't have before. And I think that's really what this trip was about. You know, for me, it was my first trip, like, doing anything like this. But it was also like, it was a test. Like, it was the one of those tests, and I rose to the occasion every time. Every little test that was presented to me, to the best of my abilities, sometimes in a bad mood, I tried anyway. And I think that was, like, that's just the moral of the story, I guess, for me.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, like, keep trying anyway. Like, all this shit is going to be uncomfortable and new. But afterwards, like, now, then we got to come back with the gift of that experience.
Mm-hmm.
And had I been like, oh, no, that's too early, let's do a different activity, like, we would have never even met them.
Right. And I think for me, it was like, had you said no or whatever, in my fullness of being myself, I would have had to take those trips by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes, like, when you travel with people, or even in life in general, like, you have to commit and use your voice. And I think for me, I'm often like, oh, whatever that person wants to do, or whatever we want to eat. But this time I was like, you know what? If I go on these trips by myself, I'm going to have a great time anyway.
Yeah.
I would love to go with my friend, but I had to, like, honestly, in myself, I had to commit to, like, well, I'm going to do this no matter what. Alone or not alone, I'm going to commit to these things. Because mm-hmm. it's what... Because if not, I would have been resentful.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's how friendships build resentment. Is, well, that person didn't want to go, so I just didn't go.
Yeah, out of, and like, protest or something. Out of, like, you're punishing them, but really, in reality, punishing you're punishing yourself.
Punishing yourself 100%.
What did Norbert say?
Norby. In real life situation, our choices have consequences. Of course. It doesn't matter what way it goes. It's a cause and effect, correct? It's unavoidable, and something will happen based on your choice. Exactly. So you can choose to be stuck on and fixated on something that's not true, that isn't a fact.
Well, like in the book, he says he barely learns because his whole life he's been like militant. I'm talking about Will Smith. His whole life he's been militant about how he accomplishes things. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't until this part of his life where he's like learning to surrender that he realizes that inaction is just as powerful as action. And silence is just as powerful as saying something. Like the opposite of doing something is just as powerful as not doing it. And that was like a big one to me too. Like, because like he had showed us in the book that all of his life had been about achievements, getting methodically getting from what. Oh, and then one thing that I was surprised to find out in the book was that all of his success was literally mapped out. He like methodically researched what makes a movie star and created a persona based on that, and only took movies that were the level of, like, it was like very methodically thought out. And that was like also added to the whole control aspect of how in control he was of everything. And until he really started to learn was when he let go of control. Mm-hmm. And that's been the moral of this podcast. And I just appreciate you guys for being with us today. And I appreciate my friend Jen for being with me today, and also for going with me to on this incredible journey, and giving me hugs when I needed them, because that was important. And any last words?
No, just be open to new things. Challenge yourself every day, even if it's something small. That's a shifting moment. If you don't smile, try smiling.
Yeah.
If you don't talk to people in line or in an elevator or in random places, just say hi.
Yeah.
You might make a friend like we did.
It's those challenges coming up, and instead of submitting to them, it's standing up to them and being like doing the smallest little things in an attempt to get to the next level, I guess, because that's what we're trying to do. If you're listening to this podcast, it's probably because you're also on some version of your own healing journey, and that's why these topics resonate with you. And we just want to be an example of that, and be honest about it, because it ain't easy, but it's definitely been worth it.
Yeah, and I mean, it's been 4 years for me since I started my healing journey, so it's definitely not easy. Like, I think I'm hitting my peak soon, and so I feel it, but it's been 4 fucking years, so y'all better be, like, it's just,
you signed up for work.
Yeah, this is real work.
But it's the only real work that actually pays off into a life that's worth living. And yeah, I'm just grateful for that experience. And I'm grateful for how grateful I felt. It was like this renewed sense of just thankfulness of being alive, and like a spark for wanting to be here. Because as many of you who experience depression know, sometimes you just don't want to be here. And that doesn't mean you want to go, you know, like, hurt yourself or anything. It just means that you feel this like sense of emptiness, and I feel like this trip like filled that hole a little bit, and it gave me hope that I could get that hole filled again in the next trip. Mm-hmm. You know, like in the next thing I plan to do with my life, that I don't have to stay in one place, and just because I'm a certain way that I have to stay like that. It's not like a sentence that I have to live out. It's my life again is about choices, and we have the choice to live like my dad used to say, get busy living or get busy dying. So with that, we'll end. And today has been the Millennial Mija podcast. Thank you for listening. We love you. Jen loves you. And we're out. Listen while you talk when you're fast asleep. You stay on the phone just to hear me breathe.
Hello? It's the motherfucking Millennial Mija podcast.